Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our stars are Lou Merrill and Peggy Weber. You know, being an individual these days, doing what you think is right without worrying too much what other people think can be a hazardous occupation. But doing things that way will usually accomplish what you set out to do with much more satisfaction to yourself. Our story this week is about such an individual, one who felt it necessary to conduct a little investigation and who went about it in a very highly individualistic way. Our story is titled Children of the Light and was written for Heartbeat Theater by Gene Campbell McMillan. Starring Lou Merrill as Major Graham and Peggy Weber as Julia, here is Act One of Children of the Light.
Well, Julia, at last. I'm glad you've come. By George, I am.
Nice waiting.
Waiting.
Don't be bothersome, Ralph.
Well, rather. It's more than a week since I asked you to come and sign those papers.
A week? Fiddlesticks, is no hurry. They're not important as far as I can see.
Now, sit down, my dear. The mayor and the whole city council have been on my neck to get the go-ahead. Now, property has to be cleared, you know, before we can start work on it.
Mayor and city council, indeed. People we pay high salaries out of taxes to sitting around pretending they can't move until somebody else acts.
Just as spunky as ever, aren't you? Now, sign here, Julia, dear.
You can stir up more papers for me to sign, Ralph Emerson, than Congress sends to the president.
Julia Dent Whitley.
You keep quiet. I know my own name and how to write it.
Yes, and how to keep it, too.
And I've no desire to change it, as I told you before.
I haven't forgotten. When I wanted to change it to Emerson years ago, you finally did change it to Whitley.
Well, I like the sound of Whitley better than that of Emerson.
Yes, just as you like John better than me. I don't blame you, Julia, dear. John was a fine man. But when the good Lord saw fit to take him, I only wanted to take care of you, Julia.
Well, John had done that sufficiently.
Indeed he had. Left you one of the richest women in the city. And that brings up the question we were discussing the last time you were in, Julia.
Don't be bothersome. I've not come here today to write my will. That's settled.
Now, Julia, I can't understand you. I mean, you're a tip-top businesswoman, and you're no longer young, and yet you...
Don't be impudent, Judge Emerson.
Excuse me, my dear, but you are a rich woman. Now, do you want the state to take all you leave when you go?
I do not. I'll not permit it.
Well, then, you'd better write a will, and now...
Judge Emerson, you may be my attorney, but I won't be browbeaten. I've told you before, I'll not write a will until I've made up my mind exactly where my money's going and how it's to be spent.
Julia, it's unfortunate that wills aren't called won'ts. Won't is your favorite hobby.
Well, I won't write a will until I'm pretty sure how my money's to be spent. I might like to do a little investigating of my own before I make up my mind. When I do that, I'll let you know. Until then, sir, I bid you good day.
Yes, Claire, what is it?
It's that little woman who was here the other evening after you left, Major Graham.
But, Claire, I have these reports to get out. They're overdue now. Can't Captain Morris hear?
She's a little stubborn, Major. She will see no one but you. She says she needs help.
Needs help. Well, I guess this is the place to get that. All right. Send her in, Claire. Good morning. Come right in,
Nora
please.
Nora Blake it is, if you're wondering what my name is.
Yes, Mrs. Blake. Now, what can I do?
Miss Blake it is. I'm that lucky still, God love you.
Well, Miss Blake. What can I do to help you, Miss Blake?
It's that I've come to find out. It's about the $500. 500 exactly now.
500? What happened? Did you lose some money or have it stolen?
No, not at all. I've got it here. There. $500 it is.
Well, indeed you have.
You didn't expect that, did you, Major? Not after looking at me gloves.
Hmm? Your gloves?
No, Major, be truthful. When you shook hands with me just now, you must have noticed the holes in me gloves, and my hat isn't exactly a Hattie Carnegie, would you say?
Well, the truth is, Miss Blake, when I first meet a person, I'm apt to notice just their eyes. I'm afraid I'm not a good judge of ladies' fashions.
Now, what did you think of me eyes then, Major?
They're very nice eyes. Gray, aren't they? And the sparkle of humor in them.
Humor? That they'd better have. Getting along without humor in this world. Not for the likes of me, if you don't mind.
Won't you sit down? Now, how can I help you, Miss Blake?
This $500. Nice, shiny new bills, if ever I saw them. Be counting them, will you now?
Well, of course. 2, 3, 4. Yeah, well, what am I to do with this money, Miss Blake?
Oh, honest money it is, dearie. Oh, you don't mind me calling you that, seeing as how I'm old enough to be your mother.
No, of course I don't mind, but tell me, why have you brought this money to me?
Well, that's the catch. You are to tell me what I'm going to do with it.
Oh? Well, I'm afraid I still don't quite understand.
You mean because I have holes in me gloves, I might have stolen it? Or maybe I'm a little touched in the head?
No. Why should I think that, Miss Blake?
Well, in this world, let a body do something out of the ordinary, and he's queer. Like sheep, you must follow the leader.
Oh? And you mean having $500 is out of the ordinary?
Not having it. Expecting another body to tell you what to do with it. That's out of the ordinary, wouldn't you say?
Well, surely, if you've saved this money, you must know where you want most to invest it.
Well, there's so many things that need doing in this world for the one who gave it to me.
Oh? You inherited the money?
No, never. I've only distant cousins left, and if they came to me very own funeral, they wouldn't know it was me in the casket. Well, dearie me, I must be going now. You're a busy man.
Wait, hold on a moment. I'll have to give this money business of yours some thought, Miss Blake, before I can advise you.
That you can. That you can. Take your time, Major.
But you aren't leaving these bills with me.
That I am, Major. You see, riding around in buses and such, I'd feel a mite safer if it's not in me purse.
Oh, of course, but at least... just a moment. Claire, make out a statement that this lady, Miss Nora Blake, has left $500 with me and then dated.
Oh, no, you needn't do that, dearie. It's the Salvation Army you belong to, and I've heard tell they're as honest as David the King, and David the King, you know, was a man after God's own heart, wouldn't you say? Goodbye now, dearie.
Goodbye, and come back soon, please, and I'll try to have an answer for you, Miss Blake. Oh, just one moment. Your address, and do you have a phone?
Well, that I don't. Telephone, is it? Pictures they are to pour gossip in and pour it out again. I've none of them, but my address, if you must have it. I'll give it to your girl out there. Goodbye now, Major.
Major, I'm glad you're here. Mrs. Warren is in your office waiting to see you.
Mrs. Stanley Warren?
Mm-hmm. The Mrs. Warren on our board.
Well, I'll go right in. Oh, any news of our Miss Blake, Claire?
No, not yet, Major.
It's been almost 2 weeks now. Well, Mrs. Warren, what a pleasant surprise to see you today.
Good morning, Major. How are you?
Well, I hope you haven't been waiting for me too long.
Oh, no. You have a nice office here. I don't mind waiting. Major? I need your help.
Well, good. In return for all you've done for us, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, goodness needs nothing. Well, the truth is, without the Booth Memorial Hospital to worry about, I'd be lost, Major Graham.
You're one of our fairy godmothers, that's for sure, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, nonsense, Major. But something strange has happened. You've heard me speak of my dear friend, Julia Dent Whitley.
Yes. She's been very generous with several of our charities.
Well, maybe I'm being foolish, but... About 10 days ago, she gave her chauffeur Ward some time off for a holiday. And this morning, he returned from his vacation and found Mrs. Whitley was not at home.
I see.
Julia does queer things. She's wonderful, but she gets ideas. She's a bit unpredictable, I'm afraid.
Oh? Well, wouldn't it be a good idea, then, to call the hotels and find out if she has registered at any one of them?
I've already done that. And I've called her lawyer. I didn't want to excite Judge Emerson until I checked a bit further.
Oh, and what did he say?
Well, I told him I'd had an appointment with Julia for lunch, and she was late. Then I asked him if she had stopped by his office. He said he hadn't seen her. So then I dropped in at the bank. I know Joe Field quite well. And he told me something in confidence.
Yes? Did he give you a hint as to where she might be?
He said Julia had been in a week or so ago. He looked to see. Now, Major, this is awfully confidential.
Yes, I understand, Miss Warren.
He said she'd drawn out about $3,000.
$3,000? Well, that's quite a sum.
Oh, well, not for Julia, but it could mean robbery now, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Could indeed. Are you sure you, well, that you shouldn't notify the police at once, Mrs. Warren?
Well, I'm not sure about anything. It's great responsibility. But I'm not going to the police until I've tried everything else.
Well, we do find misplaced persons every day, Mrs. Warren, but Mrs. Whitley sounds like a difficult lady to find.
Oh, I know, but
however, we'll try. Tell me, do you you have a picture of Mrs. Whitley?
Yes, yes, I have. Here it is. Oh, but you must not use it in any newspaper.
Oh? Well, interesting lady. Quite handsome. About 50?
That picture was taken a while ago. Julia's nearer 60.
Mm. Well, I'm sorry we can't print it. That would be a help, Mrs. Warren.
Well, keep it here in your office. That way any of your people would see it, but there'd be no publicity.
Mm-hmm.
No newspapers, please. Not at first. Julia would never forgive me if it turns out that she's only off on another of her jaunts.
Well, with that, it makes it much more difficult, but we will start at once.
Oh, wonderful. As usual with the Salvation Army, the time for action is now. Thank you for your help. Goodbye, Major Graham.
Well, hello, Major Graham.
Hmm?
Robbing the bank so early? How come?
Well, Captain Moore, this is lucky. I've been intending to call you. You haven't gotten a line on my $500 lady, have you?
Not a trace.
I'm getting worried. Oh, well, come with me to this desk while I make out the deposit slip. Just adding a little to the core account.
I can't understand it. Does she live in this district, Major?
Mm-hmm, she does. Claire drove her home that day she was in my office.
Claire did?
Yeah, well, Claire had letters to post, or used that as an excuse to drive her home. She wanted to see if Miss Blake had left us the right address. And she had.
Well, I put several of the girls on the case, Major, but they can't seem to find out a thing.
Colton Street. Claire said a small shingled bungalow pretty much tumbled down.
Colton Street. Wait a moment, Major. I just thought of it. Why, Colton Street's been torn up for the new bridge.
Oh?
They moved the last house on that hill just yesterday.
Well, looks like we have $500 belonging to someone, but to whom?
Don't let it worry you, Major. I mean, this woman did promise to return. I mean, after all, people don't go around leaving $500 bills in offices, mm-hmm. not even the Salvation Army office, without having some purpose in mind.
So ends the first act of Children of the Light, starring Lou Merrill as the Major and Peggy Weber as Julia. We've told you in stories past of the multitude of good works accomplished by the Salvation Army all over the world, and also of the many ways in which all of us can aid and support these efforts. One of the ways we haven't touched upon too frequently is that of wills and bequests. A will is, in fact, a form of insurance, insuring primarily against the chance of someone mishandling the estate, but insuring, too, that one or perhaps many deserving people will benefit from it. And among those deserving, why not include the Salvation Army? We're all familiar with its work and the good that work does. I think it's an idea worth consideration. Why not keep it in mind? Remember, the Salvation Army in your will. Now, Act Two of Children of the Light, starring Lou Merrill and Peggy Weber.
Major Graham. Major Graham, have you seen the morning paper?
Why, no, Claire. Is there something in it I should see? About Mrs. Whitley, perhaps?
Oh, no, Major, I'm sorry. But if anything, this is better. Look, clear across the front page. Listen to this headline. Do you know this woman? And then it says, our cameraman caught her on the fly, back view. She is small, spry, and shabbily dressed. Her hobby seems to be eluding puzzled charity workers, for in the past few weeks she has called upon several social service agencies and left sizable sums of money.
Well.
Mm-hmm. She promises to return to get advice on how to dispose of her money so that it will do the most good. So far, she has not returned to any of the organizations.
Oh, Claire, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh, wait, listen to the rest of it. Administrators of several organizations have conferred and feel that this woman must be found. They conclude that she is an eccentric and fear the money may have been stolen, or that perhaps she's incapable of looking after her own affairs, since few normal persons would go about giving away $100 bills without either formally donating the money or returning to see what disposal has been made of the cash.
Well, that's about what Captain Moore said.
Well, I'll bet this woman and our $500 lady are one and the same person.
No way. Yes, come in.
Good morning, Major Graham. Hello, Claire.
Hello, Captain Moore.
Well, Captain Moore, looks as if you've struck gold. That grin. Come on, come on, tell us what happened.
I'll bet he's seen the paper, too.
Paper? What paper?
Well, read it to him, Claire.
Look, hold it. Now, I can see from the headline. Now, suppose you read this note instead. It's addressed to you.
All right. Major Graham Deary. If convenient, I'd like to see you at your office tomorrow at 2:10. Would you be so kind? And it's signed, Nora Blake.
What about that, Major?
Well, it kind of knocks the wind out of me. Where did you get this note?
Well, there's more, Major. Wait till I tell you.
All right. You've aroused my curiosity. Come on,
I
come on.
There's a strange woman calling the Major Deary.
Well, last night, you know, I had charge of the meeting over at Harbor Light.
Yes, yes, I know. But what's that got to do with Nora Blake?
Well, we had a big crowd. And right in the midst of it all, in walked the little old woman. Well, we were singing, so I went down and handed her a hymn book. I asked her if she'd like to sing with us. She smiled and said, well, dearie, I used to sing a bit, and I'd like to join in. Thank you.
Oh, Bob, you're too good. Now, that surely sounds like our Miss Blake, doesn't
it? Go on, go on, Captain. What then?
Well, I gave her a seat up front, on the side, you know, where we put the occasional woman visitor. And after the meeting was over, I noticed the little woman had been deeply interested. Well, she was getting away, though, and I rushed after her. Oh, wait. Please wait. Now, let me help you down those stairs, won't you?
Thank you, dearie. Fine service it was you gave those men. Sure, if they knew better, maybe they'd do better, wouldn't you say? They're most of them trying their best to go straight. I could see that in their poor dear faces.
Yes, you're right. They do try, Miss...
Nora Blake is my name. I'm sure they must be grateful for such a place to come in out of the street and maybe worse.
You're right, Miss Blake. They like it.
It's warm and clean and a bit cheering to them, poor souls. Every mother's son of them needing help, they are.
Now, there! You took those steps like a young girl, Miss Blake. Now, why don't you let me see you safely
home?
No,
not at all. But if you'd call a cab for me, dearie.
Oh, now, come now. Please, I have my car right here. I'll drive you.
Well, it is a bit of a long way. I'm warning you.
Oh, I don't mind. Now, we'll get in there all comfortable. Now, where do we go?
Just start up Maine. Then.
Well, here's home. Right or left?
It's a long way yet. Well, I warned you.
We'll just keep going till we get there.
You know, I'm still thinking of those men. Where do they sleep, Prater?
Oh, well. Some have rooms here and there. Some of them will sleep tonight in our hospitality house.
And tomorrow? What will they do? It's terrible to wake up in the morning and have nothing facing you.
Well, we have our programs for many of them. And those who go to the men's social service centers repair and repaint and reupholster the articles our trucks pick up. Later, this is sold in our thrift stores.
Well, you do have things worked out for them, don't you? Here. Turn in here. Now, go up to your right.
Bel Air Estates?
Many bells and a lot of airs, you're thinking, isn't it? Hold up. Yeah, round to your right. All right. Yeah, stop there.
This house? But it's all dark, Miss Blake.
Never you worry. Come along.
Well, what if these people don't answer the bell?
Oh, they won't answer it. There's nobody home. Not at the moment. But there will be soon. Wait a bit now. I'm searching my bag. Here it is now.
Oh, you mean you have the maid's key. Of course, I see now.
Come along in, dearie. Here's the light over here. Now, there, we've plenty of light.
Gracious, what a beautiful hall.
Now, you just make yourself comfortable. There's nobody here to disturb you. I'm going to run upstairs. I'll be down again before you know it. If you like music, there's the piano and the record playing machine. You play the piano very well.
Excuse me. The little woman, Miss Blake, said that no one was here. Where is she?
Don't be embarrassed. You don't recognize me, do you, Captain? Yes, I'm the Nora that was. I'm really Mrs. Julia Dent Whitley. Well, sit down. Sit down.
What? I can't believe it. I mean, there isn't a trace.
You look disappointed, Captain.
Well, you see, I was beginning to be very fond of Nora. Miss Blake, I mean.
Bless you, I like Nora, too. She's unpredictable, but so much fun. Still, Julia isn't too bad, I hope.
Oh, well, of course not, but it's just...
Young man, can you keep a secret overnight?
Well, I can try, Mrs. Whitley.
Very well. I want you to give this note to Major Graham. Such a patient man he was with my Nora. Now listen, at 2:50 tomorrow afternoon, I'm to meet him in his office. You can go in a little before that and sort of warn him what's coming. But remember, not a word of this to anyone tonight.
I'll remember. And now, I must go. Good night, Mrs. Nora.
Good night, dearie. And thank you for seeing me home all nice and safe.
Well, come in, Mrs. Whitley. We're all waiting for you, and mighty glad to see you.
Thank you, Major. Well, I'll sit here beside Judge Emerson. He looks displeased with me.
Well, I should rather think so. You've given us all a start. It's lucky I was out of town, didn't know about it until Kitty called. Here are those papers you asked me to prepare this morning. Just sign here, Julia.
Still at it, aren't you, Ralph? Sign. Well, Julia Dent Whitley. There. I think that concludes it all, doesn't it?
Yes, Julia. A really bona fide will. Nobody can break that.
We haven't words to express our gratitude, Mrs. Whitley, but speaking for the Salvation Army, I want to try to thank you.
No. It's I who'm in debt to you, Major Graham. What I'm doing today gives me a satisfaction and peace of mind that I've not known before.
Yeah.
First, I want to thank you for your... for your patience with Nora. I do hope you forgive me for playing that little prank.
You know, I wouldn't have missed Nora for the world, Mrs. Whitley. Fact is, I can't bear to think of her not being with us today.
Well, that's very nice of you, Major. Well, I want to express my thanks to this young man, Captain Moore, for letting me share that meeting with those men last night. For it was there, Major, that I finally made my decision as to where the money was to go.
Really? Well, it would be most interesting if you'd tell us about it.
Oh, of course I will. You see, I first became Nora many years ago in a school play. Remember that, Ralph? Many times since, when I wanted to remain anonymous, Nora has served me very well. But this time I wanted to investigate several charities.
I see. Well, we can understand your motives, I'm sure, Mrs. Whitley.
Oh, I found many worthy causes. But somehow, I saw that money given to the Army went pretty directly to the places it's needed most. The very root of the matter.
Well, we try to see that it does. But tell me, just why did you finally pick the Harbor Light, Mrs. Whitley?
Major, I'll have to confess. And this will surprise Judge Emerson. He thinks I'm a very cold, calculating businesswoman.
Ah, Julia, dear, I think you're wonderful. Always.
Well, Major, I finally decided to leave it to what my heart dictates. I'm somewhat familiar with all your different branches, except this Harbor Light. I know the Red Shield Clubs, the Booth Memorial Hospital, and this is a secret. I was in and out of all of those places the past 2 weeks.
You were? Oh, as Nora, you mean?
Yes, as Nora. You smile, Major. When Nora went to that meeting last night and saw those men, some of them so weary and confused, others so big and clumsy, she just couldn't think of anything but a lot of ships tossed and bandied on a great ocean, trying so hard to make home port.
Yeah, ships bruised and broken on the tides of life.
Harbor Light. I suddenly knew what that light, the radiant shining of the Christ consciousness, could mean to those men if they could only see it. Realize it. Then, Major, I thought of those devoted ones of the Salvation Army who keep this light, under all conditions, shining out through the murky darkness to guide these human ships safe from the storm into the harbor.
Well, the way you put it, it is a beautiful thought, Mrs. Whitley.
Well, Major, I know you understand. The last will and testament of mine. Nora wants to be a part of that light as long as she lives. And Julia wills to be a part of it after she's no longer here. Until then, Major Graham, I want to do my best to help those ships in the harbor that I think of as children of the light.
So ends the final act of Children of the Light, starring Lou Merrill and Peggy Weber. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army, and is one of the programs selected to be heard by our men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, then, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening, and have a happy week ahead.